This morning, the Academy Award nominees were announced. Netflix's Mank led the field with 10 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture. Mank is the story of screenwriter Herman Mankiewicz, who won an Oscar for co-writing Orson Welles' iconic film Citizen Kane. Here's Gary Oldman as Mankiewicz.
I built him a watertight narrative and a suggested destination. Where he takes it, that's his job.
But diversity was the headline of the day in a number of categories. Joining me to talk about that and this year's nominees is KPCC Entertainment reporter John Horn. John, welcome back.
Happy to be with you.
And we're going to dig into the nominees in just a minute, but I want to start with the fact that this year the Academy did something new. It opened up the nominations to films that were only available via streaming services. Of course, that was a result of the pandemic. But how much of a difference did that make?
Well, this is like a fundamental rule of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and that is that a film has to premiere in a theater. This year, obviously, for the past year, most theaters have been closed, so the Academy made a change to its rule that you could premiere on a streaming service or on a premium video on demand site and still be eligible. And that fundamentally changed the kinds of movies that were going to be contending. A lot more streaming films, and also at the same time, because theaters were closed, the major studios basically sat out the year. I mean, it's not as if the next Fast and Furious movie was going to be an Oscar contender, but when the studios kind of vacate the space completely, it opens an opportunity not only for streaming movies, but for independently produced films, which tend to be much more diverse, and that's what I think we saw in this year's nominations.
Well, we absolutely did. Let's start talking about that. Two women nominated for Best Director. We've got Chloe Zhao for Nomadland and Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman. That is something that has never happened before.
No, not only has it never happened, but in the history of the Academy Awards, only one woman has ever won the directing Oscar. That was Catherine Bigelow almost a decade ago for The Hurt Locker. Chloe Zhao is the first non-white woman ever to be nominated in the category. Also, Chloe not only directed Nomadland, she also wrote it, produced it, and edited it. So Chloe Zhao has four nominations this year, the most by any woman in a single year. And in fact, in total, 70 women received a combined 76 nominations, which is also a record in a single year.
Wow. Now, of course, the nomination is one thing, but if one of those two women don't win, you know people will be upset about that. What are their chances?
I think Chloe's got a great chance. I mean, I think Nomadland is the favorite to win Best Picture. I think she's absolutely the favorite to win Best Director. Nomadland, even though it's made by an imprint of the Walt Disney Company, Searchlight Studios, it is very much an independent film. Chloe is an independent filmmaker. This is a narrative adaptation of a great nonfiction book by Jessica Bruder. I think it's not only a great movie, but it's certainly a good movie for these times. It's about people kind of coming together in desperate circumstances. I love this film, and I think it's really the front runner for picture and for director.
It does look good. Why don't we talk about Best Actor? Riz Ahmed nominated for The Sound of Metal, Anthony Hopkins for The Father, Gary Oldman for Mank, Steven Yeun for Minari, and of course, this is the big one, the late Chadwick Boseman for his role as a trumpeter in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Let's listen to a little of a scene.
I got talent. Oh, me and this horn, we's tight. If my daddy had a known I was going to turn out like this, he would have named me Gabriel. I'm going to get me a band and make me some records. I done give Mr. Stutterman some of my songs I wrote, and he say he going to let me record them when I get my band together. I just got to finish the last part of this song. I got style.
John, when Chadwick Boseman's widow accepted his Golden Globe Award, it was one of the most moving moments of the night. Do you think he is a clear frontrunner this year?
You know, it's a great field. And I got to say, Steven Yeun and Minari, he's the first Asian performer nominated in the lead actor category. Also a great performance. So who knows? Obviously, a lot of sentiment behind Chadwick Boseman. It's a great performance. But oddly enough, the film was not nominated for Best Picture, which a lot of people thought it would be. And I think when you don't have that kind of critical support in the Best Picture race, it might suggest a little weakness of support for the film overall. But Chadwick is absolutely deserving, as is Viola Davis, who he starred opposite in the the film, who I think is probably, you know, the most favored actress category winner going forward.
Well, why don't we talk about the women then? Along with Miss Davis, there's Vanessa Kirby for Pieces of a Woman, Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman, Frances McDormand for Nomadland, and Andra Day, who plays singing great Billie Holiday in The United States versus Billie Holiday. She sings as well as acts in that role, and here she is performing Holiday's signature song, Strange Fruit.
Southern trees, they're strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root.
She is a remarkable performer. I had a chance to watch her sing with the pianist and composer Chris Bowers a couple months ago for something unrelated to the Oscars, and she is so full of emotion, and her phrasing is unbelievable. You know, she is somebody who we're going to be hearing a lot about. Obviously a fantastic singer, but also a really good actor. That's a, you know, very tricky category. I think Viola Davis is probably the favorite, but the fact that a movie like Promising Young Woman, now this is a very difficult movie. It premiered at the Sundance Film Festival more than a year ago. It's about a woman who basically exacts revenge on men who treat, she pretends to be, you know, drunk and incapacitated at bars, and she basically turns the tables on men who try to take advantage of her. It's a very difficult film. The fact that this movie is getting the kind of support from the Academy that it's getting is remarkable, and I think that is a great example of what happens during a pandemic year, that a movie like Promising Young Woman can rise as high as it has risen.
Mm-hmm. And John, we've been talking about this, that the pandemic has caused so much disruption this year. The Oscars were pushed back to late April. As we said, they opened up the nomination process to streaming services. But you also say that there may be almost a bit of an upside in this year's nominations because of that. Can you explain what you mean?
Well, what it does is it kind of levels the playing field. When you eliminate the, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that are spent on four-year consideration ads and parties and events, a lot of money is spent on Oscar promotion. And when you can't have those events because of the pandemic and you're really limited on what you can spend because people aren't going to the movies, I think it does reflect, you know, more of a consensus of what people really like. The fact that the studios, you know, skip the year, I think, creates an opening for these smaller independent films. But also the Academy has really tried over the last, you know, 7 to 8 years to diversify its membership. They've invited a lot more younger and more diverse members. And even though once you're in for life, it's like The Godfather, like you don't get to leave unless something bad happens to you. The change of the demographics within the voting ranks is clearly noticeable, and it's the reason why I think a lot of these nominees got as much love. I mean, this is a record year for diversity in the acting ranks, and I think that's a reflection of how the Academy has diversified, also the kinds of movies they had to choose from. A very diverse slate that was not top-heavy, with a lot of kind of old-fashioned studio films that tend to skew very white and very male.
So I guess the real question will be, like, next year, if the Academy Awards are still as open to including the streaming services, what do you think? I mean, is this sort of setting a precedent that could change the way these awards ceremonies are done from here on out?
Yeah, it feels like the classic bell you can't unring. And yes, let's hope next year will be different. But I can't see anything changing back because the world has changed. I mean, who knows? Even in California right now, you can start going back to movie theaters. I don't know anybody who is ready to go back to a movie theater. And I also don't think that financial model makes sense anymore. So if the Academy is going to reflect the best in movie making, I think it has to be agnostic about platforms, because some of the best work is coming out on Netflix or Amazon, other streaming sites. And if you restrict the Oscars to movies that only play in theaters, because theaters won't play films that are debuting on streaming services, you know, within a couple of weeks, if not the same day as they're hitting theaters, then you're cutting off like more than half of the best work in Hollywood. And if the Academy is recognizing the best in filmmaking, it cannot ignore what's happening in streaming services, because that's some of the best work in Hollywood right now.
We've been talking about the Oscar nominees out this morning with KPCC entertainment reporter John Horn. The ceremony will be April 25th. It's a late one this year because of the pandemic. John, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.